I have on a Zoom recorded call Ariane Marcy, Executive Director of El Paso Opera. Really happy to be able to talk to you, both of us recording from home. Ariane, the El Paso Opera has been doing some wonderful and innovative performances, bringing music out into the streets of El Paso with your curbside concerts. So welcome and tell us more about your curbside concerts.
Well, thank you, Laura. It's nice to be here and it's nice to be able to talk to you. Our curbside opera program just kind of was born from the isolation we were all feeling. Our staff was able to continue working remotely, and so we stayed connected via Zoom and via phone and text and all of the wonderful ways that we were able to connect via technology. But we were missing that connection. Our performers were missing that chance to be in front of an audience. And we were also concerned about some of our donor base and our steadfast audience members who we knew were isolating alone. So with conversations about all of these things combined, we came up with an approach of being able to take our performers out to check on our donors and kind of bring them a bright spot in their day, but being able to do it, taking all of the safety and health guidelines into consideration. And we went back and forth in a couple ideas, and we landed on opera arias from the back of a pickup truck. And it was one of those ideas that started out with, this is kind of crazy. Can we make this work? To, you know, this is pretty awesome. Let's expand it. So it, like I said, it started as a need for all of us to want to reach out and have a connection. And it has, it has just kind of had a blown up in the effect that we decided that it worked really well with these individual donor visits. And we thought, okay, well, let's start adding some public sites and around the community. And it's just caught on. And we keep saying this is our version of taking, you know, COVID lemons and making some lemonade. And it's been a wild ride, and it's been really fun and really great to, again, see somebody in person and brighten their day, and yet maintain the distance and keep our masks on, and to make sure that it was as safe as possible in the current environment.
So tell us, I've seen pictures of the truck. You've got a singer on the truck. Are you playing? Is there a background recording for them to be playing? Is it all a cappella? Where they're singing on their own? How are you providing the instrumentals for your singers?
We have our resident pianist who we enlisted to do recordings. And so he did some recordings on his own. And again, knowing the singers that he was recording these for, he was able to also work with them on, you know, do some collaboration between them on Zoom and via phone, so that they could kind of perfect what they would be singing to a track. Because of course, singing to a track is not ideal for opera, and singing amplified is not typical for opera. But we decided to implement those two ideas so that we could do this concept. So as you say, we have a singer who is in the back of a truck and with a microphone. We have the full accompaniment on track that we are amplifying via speaker, and all of that is being run off of a battery that we have in the back of the truck that we're plugging into. So we are totally self-contained. We can go for a number of hours going from place to place with this battery power. And because it is amplified, we don't have to worry about people trying to sit too closely to us, so the singers can take off their mask and sing on the microphone, and people can be a good distance away from us and still enjoy the music that is being provided.
And one singer at a time.
We have two microphones, and so we typically do two singers. They each have a dedicated mic, and we clean the mic with Clorox wipes in between every song, just to, again, be as safe as possible. We don't want our singers to have a problem. We don't have our audience to have a problem. And we decided when we were going to do this, we were going to demonstrate as great a safety procedure as we could, so that we could show ourselves as an organization as taking this seriously and making sure to protect both our audience and our singers. And so all of our staff and crew have our masks on, again, Cloroxing in between everything, and again, encouraging the social distancing and masking of our audience as well.
I love this. Music goes mobile at right. Del Paso. I know that people can call and request the truck to come for a fee, I'm assuming, these little private concerts. But tell us a little about the public ones that you've done and some of the spaces that you've gone to.
So, yes, absolutely. There is the option for the private ones, and those can be booked through our office. But Tuesdays and Wednesdays, typically, sometimes it varies, but we've been trying to focus on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We offer some of the public performances. Now that the parks are back open, the parks are kind of my go-to spot, because typically, even if people don't know we're coming, they're out for a walk or out with their dog, and we are kind of a pop-up concert for them. And so we've been to a handful of parks and a handful of just pockets in neighborhoods where we know somebody, and we say, hey, I know that there's a spot we can park here. And they're like, great, I'll tell my neighborhood and anybody can come. And so we've been to like Memorial Park and Madeleine Park. And then Memorial Park in Central was wonderful, because if you're familiar with that area, it's a lot of rolling hills, and it's a very big park that with different pockets of spaces. We turned on the music, they started singing, and people came from over the hill and sat down. And so from all over the park, they were drawn over and were able to join us. We always send out via our newsletter e-blast and our social media where we're going to be. It's kind of like, tonight we'll be here, or tonight we'll be there. And so sometimes we have people who are following us from stop to stop. One gentleman that really sticks out in my mind, he had recently had surgery, been very ill, had an amputation. He was never really able to leave the house. But when he and his family discovered that they could come to us and stay in the car, they were just so excited, because it gave him something to leave the house for and something that he was able to do. And when, you know, you go home with a really good feeling when somebody tells you a story like that, and when they tell you that you have changed their life and improved their healing. And we had someone else, and I said, I hope we brought a bright spot to your day. And she goes, oh my gosh, you brought a bright spot to my year. It feels like something small for us, but it's really wonderful when we get the feedback that it's actually been something big to the people who have joined us and again, had the opportunity to hear something and get out of their house and see something in person, you know, as opposed to Zoom, which has been wonderful for technology, but it's still great to have that personal connection when we're able to.
Absolutely. I've been so impressed since this whole quarantine period began, and really March in this country, all over the world, people doing home concerts, entire orchestras posting things online, each of them from their home. It's been very touching, but we got to get outside sometimes and being able
to. We
do. Yeah.
You know, and what I've loved about this also is I think that it has opened up some people's eyes to how the arts is such a vital part of their life. Because what was the first group of people to step in when we all went into the shelter in place in, like you said, in mid-March, and we were all freaked and not sure how to handle it and not sure what day it was? We were able to log on and see concerts and conversations and little bits of art here and there, or watch free live streams, or visit museums virtually. And I really feel like, of course, separate from the healthcare and first responders who, of course, carried the tremendous burden of getting us through this, but the arts really stepped up and helped us with getting us through such an emotional time when we felt isolated and scared and just navigating such new waters and how do we do it? And I know my family and I really enjoyed that, and we were exposed to performers that we otherwise had no no knowledge of. And I really think curbside opera is doing that for us, in that some of these private curbside gigs are people who are not in my ticket base. They're not in my donor base. They have never had a connection with us, but they've seen us, and now they have a connection with us. And so we've been able to reach out and touch people that they didn't know we were here before. We had another really, really neat experience last week with one of the private ones. We were hired for a gentleman said, "I'd like you to sing happy birthday to my daughter." We had no idea the age of the child, or if it was an adult daughter or what. But we're like, okay, we'll do a full set of opera songs and we'll throw in a happy birthday at the end. And we pull up to the house. The entire extended family is outdoors with their masks on, and it's an 11-year-old's birthday party. And she was so excited to see us, and so excited through the entire 20-minute set, which I was a little worried when I saw her age, if it would be too long for her or too much. She loved it. Then we all sang happy birthday to her together, and you should have seen this little girl's face. And again, we drove away thinking, this girl is going to remember this birthday forever. Like, that's going to be something that she's going to look back on. And maybe we introduced her to something new, or maybe we introduced her to a new idea for a career or for a love. And that feels really good.
Yeah. Ariane, we've talked in the past about how you bring classical music and these amazing traditions to people who may not be familiar with it. And this has been a trend in many ways in the last few years, pop-up concerts and performances in unusual venues. But COVID-19 has definitely stretched our imaginations in new ways to reach new audiences. I've been speaking with Ariane Marcy, Executive Director of El Paso Opera, and your curbside concerts continue and will continue through the summer, I'm assuming, beyond.
Exactly. They were planned through the summer. They were planned for quarantine, and then it was converted to, okay, well, quarantine's kind of ended, but people are still self-quarantining, so we're going to keep going through the summer. And then I'll be frank, like, I see this as a part of my community outreach for this upcoming season, because I do think that it's going to take us a while to get back to normal, but also I'm seeing the benefits to this, and it's very cost-effective way for me to get us out there and for us to reach these people, and it's so rewarding on all of our parts that I do have plans to incorporate it in this upcoming season as well.
Wonderful. If people want to know when and where you're performing, they can subscribe to your newsletter. I know that comes in. I've been seeing those newsletters, and they can do that on the website, El Paso Opera.
Yes, you can go to the website and subscribe, or you can email info@epopera.org directly, and we'll put you on the list. Or you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Both are El Paso Opera. We usually post the day of or the day before, so you can make plans to join us. And sometimes people don't even know we're coming, but you see the banners, and you can just follow the truck, and we'll welcome you as an audience at the next spot.
Quick question, these concerts, about how long do they last?
Yeah, it's about 20 minutes. Typically, we have two performers, and they sing two songs each. Again, sometimes, just because of scheduling, it's only one performer. Sometimes it's a little long. It just kind of depends how it fits, but typically it is 20 minutes, two songs each performer. And Wonderful. We've been doing some traditional opera, but we also sprinkle in some music theater and some other things, because we want to make sure that it's all stuff that's accessible. We don't want to go too obscure and have it be something people aren't familiar with. I think this is a really good setting for using familiar favorites.
Any chance that you'll be coming up to Las Cruces at all?
So currently we don't have Las Cruces on the slate, but I will say I've gotten a couple requests for it. So as the summer goes on, right now I'm having trouble keeping up with all the requests here. As that calms down into July, I could probably be convinced that we make a spot or two or in Las Cruces. Because again, I'm thrilled that people are asking for it, and I don't want to say no.
Ariane, who are some of the singers who are performing from your truck?
So we have predominantly our resident artists, which we have some from Las Cruces and some from El Paso, and then some other local singers who are affiliated with us. And so Heather Dials and Annie Pennies are two resident artists that are from Las Cruces. And then those from El Paso are Sarah Neely, Taylor Trolia Giron, Mariana Sandoval is our office manager and also one of our performers. So Mariana does double duty. Even when she's not performing, she's there helping. And Cherry Duke, Brian Downin, and Kelly Roomba, all three are professional opera singers who are located here in El Paso and are kind of affiliated with us in our productions. And they've stepped in and they've done a couple performances each. And I forgot to mention also Holly Messarch is one of our resident artists who performs very frequently. So it's a mixture of all people who are affiliated with El Paso Opera in one way or the other, and people based here in Las Cruces and El Paso.
Wonderful. And the name of your resident pianist?
Guillermo de la Garza.
Ariane Marcy, thanks so much for joining us on Intermezzo at KRWG 90.7 Las Cruces. And good luck with the curbside concerts, El Paso Opera. Ariane Marcy, wonderful work. And we'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you so much again.